Greetings to each one. In the precious name of Jesus. It's overwhelming to be here. There was a lot shared this morning. Beautiful things shared.
Of the church. God's heart for it. And then those things that destroy men's lives. Envy, jealousy, and strife. They destroy our life from within. We're destroyed. So may the Lord help us. And thank you for sharing those thoughts and those beautiful things. Maybe before we start, we'd like to rise and have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, this beautiful Lord's Day morning, we bow ourselves before you, thanksgiving in our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to gather in this way. Lord, we thank you for your people, for allowing us to gather and just to hear the precious truths that we heard this morning. Lord, we're humbled. We're very thankful, Lord, that the truth of eternity will always stand. And we bow ourselves before you. And we ask you now to meet with us, Lord, and take these few thoughts, Lord, that you've put upon my heart, and that they would become bread to all of us, Lord, that you would break the bread of life, that we would love your word and we would stay close to your word, and I desire in my weakness, Lord, to not to stray from the way, Lord, this morning, but to proclaim the truth that will stand today and throughout all eternity, Lord. A truth that's not built on men's wisdom, but a truth that's built forever and ever. Lord, I pray that you'd visit us today, from the youngest to the small, to the oldest, and you would help us, Lord, to be overcomers. You would help us, Lord, to be a people that's fully surrendered continually to your ways. We ask for your anointing and your leading and your presence in our midst. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. The singing again. Desire your prayers. It seems like there's been a bit of an emotion in my life in the last 3-4 weeks, and so my prayer is that we don't build on emotions, because those things can pull on other people's emotions. So I desire to not be overly emotional. But I also desire to share a burden that's on my heart. Jesus is a precious Jesus. And I think we all know this. Singing was very powerful this morning. My son picked the song that we've been singing at home, the 76. I think it was 76. To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son. He who yielded his life in atonement for sin and opened the life gate that all may go in. And think about all those verses. The last line, it says, great things he has taught us, great things he has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus his son. But pure and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. And Jesus' will is this morning that not one man perish. Children, from the youngest child and to the oldest person in the room. So some of these thoughts and burdens come in my heart as many of you know, we have a little baby son that was born as we invited him into the world, and we held him. And we looked at his little body, and you think, and all of us men, and all of us, not just men, but we think about the overwhelming responsibility of a son. We watch him grow. Those things have been the Lord has been doing a work in my heart that is hard to put into words. So there's probably where some of those emotions are coming. And some of you have some probably in other ways. You don't have little babies, and we're at a different place than some of you, but we're very thankful for what God's doing in our life. Think this morning, create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. We need your presence. This morning I'd like to talk about the glory of God in the body. The glory of God in the body. And we'll try to look at a few things in a body form. By sharing us holding a little body, the glory of God in a body, and in a body of Christ in the church. The glory of God's people. The glory of God. And these things were part of this stirring and burden was I realized that there's times that I can take the body of Christ for granted. As I think of the time that we were enjoying our little one, we had tremendous support. We had blessings of having brothers and sisters that cared, stopped by, shared words of encouragement, shared their thoughts, shared their blessings with us, encouraged us to press forward, encouraged us. And I started thinking of there are many people that are lonely. There are many people that are lost in this world without this opportunity. I started thinking about what will I change for these things in life. And this morning, it's nothing. I've been part of this world. I've been lonely, and I've been by myself. I've been bottled up in my own selfish life for way too many years. But this morning, I don't think we'd give anything to trade this life for the life of the world. The way of the world, the way of the transgression is hard. Also thinking that if God would punish me for my sins, I wouldn't stand. If God would punish us all for our sins in here today, none of us would stand. We would not be here. So his desire this morning is, I had to think of the burden of God. God has burdens. God has different ones, and his burden is that glory would shine forth from his people through men, through a body. And if you study a little body like that coming into the world, it's hard to understand all the parts that come together and they work and they make a function. So I'd like to look and see the glory of God, how it looked a little bit like in the Old Testament, in the children of Israel, in the book of Exodus. I like to look a little bit in the New Covenant. And thirdly, I would like to see some practical ways that the glory of God works out in our lives today as his people. It works out very, very practically. Keep asking I had a thought today, as we go through the message, to be engaged. I don't have a bunch of answers, but to be engaged and to think with me, think together, think along the way, as I think of Brother James is sharing this morning, that it's not about an eloquent speech, but we want to think together through the Word of God. We want to be able to think and see what God's will is for this little body in this community, what the will of God is. As we think, don't keep our minds in place. Don't keep what we think. Think about the glory of God. Because we get it mixed up with our natural thinking many times. The word glory this morning means it coincides with clear. That's in 1828. If you think of glory, many times the glory has different expressions, and we'll see that in Exodus and on through when it left, even in Samuel there. We'll see glory, how glory looks at different times. It coincides with clearness, with brightness. It is open. Glory is just open. It's plain. Think of the Mount of Transfiguration. There was a glory. The Bible dictionary I have also says it's beauty. The glory of God is beautiful. It's also powerful. It's very powerful, and it's honorable. You see, when the glory of God is in a person's life or in a church's life, I couldn't help but think of this a number of years ago. I think we had a middle-aged man that come to a prayer meeting one morning. Some of us saw him on the road, and he come in here, and I just never forgot. He had he was, I think, pretty wasted, and some of you remember him. Brother Jerry, I think, helped haul him home. I don't know if you remember that. But anyway, that's not the point. The point is he was struggling with foul language, and he kept cursing and saying sorry, and no one was rebuking him, and he would curse, and he would say, I'm sorry, this is the house of God. I don't want to be cursing. And I was just thankful that without words, many times the glory of God is revealed. How can you speak today in the house of God? How can I speak today? How can I act today? You know, can we sit in the house of God and sit back in a corner and watch a video? You know, just can we do those things? Does that hinder the glory of God? Does that hinder the glory of God in the people of God? But I never forgot that. He was trying to not curse, and he was trying because there was a presence of God, not because we were certain special people, but God was here. That's what we want. We want God to be here through generation after generation. When we become old and we go off the scene, we want these children that were standing up here to be filled with the glory of God. That's the will of God. It coincides. It is to expand, to enlarge. See, the glory of God is to expand, to enlarge. It's not something that we just hold on to for dear life. We just enter into it, and it's glorious, and it permeates the entire world. That's why the church is precious. So the people of God is so precious. Christ this morning shares his glory with Christians. God says in his word he will share his glory with no other. But he shared it with Christ. And Christ this morning is sharing his glory this morning. It's humbling. But he can't do that with vessels of dishonor. He can't do that if we desire the glory of God, but we also desire our own glory. He can't do that. He's never divided. He shares it with Christians. And this is why, that our lives may be transformed into the image of God the Father. So whether we're a Christian for a 6 months or a year, 10 years, he still desires to transform us into the image of God the Father. You turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 24. We want to get a few of the examples here. Got a number of scriptures to read. We'll start in verse 1 in Exodus chapter 24. You can come along there. And he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, and Aaron, and Nadab, and Abihu, and the 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord, and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice, and said, all the words which the Lord hath said we will do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and rose up early in the morning, and builded an altar upon the hill, and 12 pillars, according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrifice, peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood, and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant, and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has said we will do, and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it upon the people, and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. Then went Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet as it were a paved work, a sapphire stone, and as it were a body of heaven in the clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel he laid not his hand. Also they saw God and did eat and drink. And the Lord said unto Moses, Come up to me unto the mount, and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone, and a law, and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up, his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. And he said unto the elders, Tarry ye here for us, until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount, and the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. The very familiar scriptures. Was thinking in a few things there that was a blessing to me. In two areas there, all of the children of Israel there told Moses, all that the Lord has said we will do. And then down in the verse 7 he says, and all that the Lord has said we will do and be obedient. And then Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people. And I think there's a two-part of glory there, even in Exodus chapter 24. Because sometimes natural men, the way we think of the glory of God, it's out here. It's out in the clouds somewhere, in Mount Sinai. It's way over there, and we look at it, especially if you're not converted. You see it, and you see, well, that's beautiful. I'd like to have that. I'd like to be part of that. And we would like to say this morning that we can have it this morning. The glory of God can dwell within His people. But there's only one way this is able to happen. It's very humbling to me this morning. The glory of God. It was a devouring fire upon that mountain. He first poured the blood upon the altar. And then in verse 7, He sprinkled the blood upon the people. It excited me to see in God's heart in Exodus chapter 24... His desire was to dwell with people. His desire was to dwell with people. Because sometimes in life, we like to think God changed His mind from Exodus to 1 Corinthians 10 and 11. But He didn't. God didn't change His mind from Exodus to Hebrews. God's fulfilling His plan, His heart for His people. His people there in Exodus had a desire to say, We will, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen, Lord. We will. And then He could sprinkle the blood upon them. That's where our hearts and lives need to be. Turn to Exodus 29. Let's keep going further, a few other verses. God's desire here again for the glory of God to be with His body, His people. Verse 42 to 46 in Exodus chapter 29 says, This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak there unto thee. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. And I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office. Can anybody see that two part there again in that last closing, that verse? What's somebody see the two part? Tell me if you've seen it. Someone raise their hand. Think about the heart of God there. He says in that last verse, No, it wasn't the last. I'm sorry. Verse 44. I said the last verse. Verse 44, it says, I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation. I think it was a tabernacle would be the building, the temple. And the altar. He says, and I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons. Hallelujah. That's beautiful. That's God's heart. He desires to sanctify not only this place, but this people, us people. That's a mystery of Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's a mystery. Yet it's by faith, it's true. It works every time when men are willing to humble themselves. In Exodus 40, if you can turn your Bibles, a few verses in Exodus chapter 40. Verse 34 to 38. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeyings. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeyings. So there are some thoughts that I've had as the glory of God dwelt among the people of God. And it was beautiful. This was glorious. This was a sight that scared all the heathens. As Israel walked through with this glory present, they were afraid of Israel because Israel had the glory of God on their life. They were afraid. But again, the burden also takes a different view at times. As I thought of these things this past few weeks, is that the reality of this morning, the glory of God has not always been with the children of Israel. And the glory of God has always been readily available for God's people. But whenever we are starting to establish our own ways and our own human thinking and not submitting to the righteousness of Christ, the glory departs from God's people. And if you turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel, I'd like to look at a little bit of a departure. It's a very familiar chapter. It's kind of a very sober reality. A sober reality this morning that God is not willing that any man perish, but he cannot share his glory with adultery. He cannot share his glory with a double life. He cannot. That's God's heart. And so he has to honor this. As we read through 1 Samuel, I'm not sure that I'll read the entire chapter. I just want to look at some of the points in here. It was a history that many of us are familiar with. The sister Hannah there in chapter 1. Hannah had a burden for a son. She was the second wife of Elkanah, her husband. The first wife had children, and Hannah was barren. In verse 9 it says, in chapter 1, so Hannah rose up after that she had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed take on the affliction of thy handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it's a beautiful heart. It touches our hearts a little because of we have a newborn son. And that is all of our hearts as Christian parents. We want to give them back to God. But the sober thing here, let's look at how the priest responded to this godly woman in the apostatized state of the children of Israel. The priest Eli, and it says in verse 12, "And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad, because she received a blessing from Eli, the man there at the gate. Eli was not it didn't seem to be that he was a godly man there through those times in the history. Some would say that the glory of God left Israel there, but as you look at that, there, as you see the heart of God, God always preserved a remnant. And when little Samuel was born, God was speaking to Samuel. God was speaking to Samuel, and you know the Israel went to war, and I'm thinking of this story. They went to war, and the Philistines, they stole the ark. And you can read a lot of this account if you go read through Samuel. And Eli and his sons and the whole tribe of Israel says, they knew that they needed the ark. And they recognized that the ark was stolen. And they said, we have to go get him. We have to go get the ark. So they took their army. And you know, it was probably a big army. It was probably a well equipped army. And I'm trying to get us to think, myself, not, I know we all think, but think about it. We have, we know we lose something. We know that there's something that just kind of is not right in life. There's a guilt, and there's a fog upon us. God doesn't want it to be that way. He wants it to be clear. He wants it to be glorious. So they went out and fought, and we know the story. Back come the men. Come back to Eli, and they told Eli, we have trouble. You're two, you know, they still have the ark, and we lost the battle, and your two sons are dead. And the story that Eli fell over and broke his neck and died. And so there's a lot could be looked into that. But think of this. When I read through this, I don't have time to get into some of those points. But there's they did not lose this glory without being made aware. As they were walking in life, there were prophets in Israel that were trying to bring them to make them aware that you're laying with the women at the door, and they were eating meat that was supposed to be sacrificed to their God, and they were eating and they were getting fat, and you know the list was going on, and then you had dear Hannah in the center of that thing that had a burden for God, and I'm very thankful for that. We all are thankful for. The preservation of faith has come through the history of his people. So I had two thoughts as I read through what those two boys were doing. He would tell his two boys, you know, don't do it. This isn't right in the sight of God. Mainly, I think he was more concerned it wasn't right in the sight of people. And he would, you know, don't, this is not good, and the people see this. But I don't know that God was feared in some of those ways. So I had two thoughts as I read these. There is a continued thrust. It's not just started today, but it started for all of humanity. It seems to be it's a self-identification or a self-identity. Many times people in general are worried that I'm going to lose my identity. This is who I am. Or we have that thought, or we have self-denial. And now when we get into the New Testament picture of the glory of God, think of these two points. Identify in myself, and I realize that There are personal identities that we all have as being Christians. But I think many times it's just a pure lever to have our own way. And it has very little to do with Christianity. It has very little to do with being a surrendered Christian. It's to identify ourselves along life's journey. Self-denial is something that nothing has to happen after that. When there's self-denial, there's nothing else can come except resurrection and resurrected life. So that was some Old Testament picture of God having, God's glory was strong in Exodus, and the glory departed, yet in a very small way come through the little boy Samuel, as Samuel listened to God speak to him at night, and also went back and told Eli, read Eli his rights of what was going to happen. So turn your Bibles to Ephesians for the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14 and 18. We're just going to look at a few verses. My heart is not to take verses out here and use them out of context, so I believe Ephesians is definitely talking about the church, about the glory of God. So in verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Think of the earnest of our inheritance. It's the Holy Spirit dwelling with people. He gives us that Holy Spirit today. He gives us that salvation, the inheritance among the saints, the inheritance sealed but with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Again, for his glory there. In verse 18, it says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. I think if we think of those two areas of self-identification or self-denial, is how we, one of the brothers shared this morning about being, when our thoughts are twisted, it's hard to understand what God really wants from our lives. And so may God untwist my thoughts at times, that I would understand what his glory is and what the picture he desires to see from generation after generation. This is a beautiful picture, the inheritance in the saints. Chapter 2, verse 19 in Ephesians. We'll go through Ephesians just a little bit, some of the verses about the glory of God. Now, in verse 19, therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. There it is again. The glory. It's interesting that, I think interesting enough, it's hard to know how to share some of those thoughts, because an individual person, I believe, can have a glorious life. They can be born again, and they can have the experience of forgiveness of sin. And I know that. I remember being born again and when I was 19 and yielding my life to God, and I knew the presence of God was in my life. But Some of the more beautiful things that's been a blessing in my life is to give up and be part of the household of God, the saints of God. It's a beauty that multiplies and multiplies the manifold wisdom of God, the glory of God. And that takes none of us have, it's actually unbelief and sin to have these thoughts, well, what am I worth? And I'm too bad to be part of God's kingdom. And I've made enough mistakes in life. It's actually unbelief and sin. And I think I've shared that with a few brothers. It seems like in the past few days after my little son was born, the enemy tried to use some of those darts and just to cut us down. You've made enough mistakes that you don't deserve. And we would have to agree that we have. But he's made us accepted in the Beloved by a new and living way. And he wants to sprinkle blood upon you this morning. He wants to sprinkle glory upon you and I this morning if we only surrender to him. The blood of the new and living way. It says in verse 21 in chapter 2, it says, "In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord." Holy temple. The glory that was in Sinai, the glory that come into the tabernacle. Now the glory in the temple. The glory this morning is not in the corner. You know, if we would all be watching this corner up here and there'd be a glory there, it's just glorious. But the glory is in the people. And if it's either glory or it's not glory. That's the heart of God. So if you think your life, my life, don't matter, what you're doing, what you're thinking, you think in the secrets of your closet you can look at this and you can think this and meditate on this, it diminishes the glory of God in the people of God. Our life matters. If a small part of this little body that we have in our home, if a small part of one of those arms decides, I don't want to grow with the rest, it will become a body. We would have to be able to work with it and nurture it, but it'll become a dysfunctional body. It becomes handicapped. It becomes very, very needy upon the other arm if one says, "I won't grow with the rest." There's not a lot of glory in that. It doesn't work that way. There's glories. There's bits of Samuels that are trying, that are hearing from God and desire God. But the bigger picture of glory is the heart of God. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, verse 15, "Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ." There again in verse 16, "that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory." That Jesus Christ would grant us according to the riches of his glory. That we would come under that burden in life. That God could receive all the glory from everything that we ever do in life. That's a beautiful place. But we find a war that wars within this picture. It wars against our self-identity instead of self-denial. We don't want to give up because I have some questions that we ask the questions, we talk to each other, and we even give some of these excuses at times. That the glory of eternity, I shared earlier when the children of Israel were down in Exodus and they saw that mountain that Moses was in there, they saw that glory, and what they saw was a devouring fire. That's what they saw. And they knew that God was there. And yet God wanted to take that glory, and he wanted to come, and he wanted to put it in to people. And that's how the message goes out. The message goes out just like that. People come around, and there's trouble in the hearts. Maybe there's someone here today that has a troubled heart, and you don't know which way to turn. There's people here that can help. We desire to be a help. Desire to be a blessing, not because we're special, but because if you have yielded your life and my life to God, then this glory is available to everyone. Never let the enemy tell you that you've been too bad. Ephesians chapter 3, we read that in 16, in verse 21. Yeah, and also in chapter 3, in the last verse, it says, "Unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end." So it seems to be, as I look at these things, this is where the heart of God is. It's in the church. It's in the body. His desire is to pour out his glory. That heathens, that unbelievers would say, you can't go there because it's hard. It's convicting. Not because of a bunch of words, but because there's a glory here that God is here. And that is God's heart. Not one bit short. This is God's heart. This is the authority of God in his word. I believe it with all my heart. Because if we've ever walked the other way, I have walked this way. The reason I share some of these thoughts, and it's been a bit overwhelming and emotional, and I believe the Lord has been good to us as a family, but I've walked and I've saw glory. You know, I've saw men walk in glory. I've saw them have a broken spirit. And I saw men get misused, and I saw them respond in my teenage years, and I would look at them, and I would go take people's mailboxes down that responded to my men, that I knew they were Christian men. And I wanted this to stop. But I realized I couldn't figure this out. But then when I would speak to some of these men that I knew had God in their lives, they would say, we just need to forgive those men, you know. And I was like, you know, this was not part of my life. Yet, it was so drawing. And yet I had my sin. I didn't want to let go of my sin, but I couldn't stand to see a man of God get misused. It hurt. It made me angry. And so I would try to war my life through there. Until one day when I said, now I understand. Just a small picture, I understand. You can forgive people that misuse you. And you can let go. And you can be clear. You know, clear. Plain. Free. Not freedom to the flesh, but free from all bondage. And it's been a blessing for me to think about these things. May that be the heart of all of us. The glory of God. So I think about some practical things this morning. I kept thinking about the last few weeks about children, you know, little children. And when we think of little children, the most beautiful thing for little children is obedience. You talk to people and they say, oh, you know, if my child would just obey, you know, if he'd just obey. Obedience. It seems very simple, but obedience, true obedience, is glorious when you see obedience. 1 Peter. Chapter 1. Verse 2, it says, "Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace be multiplied. In those scriptures, verse 22, we'll read that verse, 22 and 23 in 1 Peter, and then I got a few thoughts I want to share. It says, "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Beautiful, some beautiful scriptures. You know, we are born again. I want to get back to the children, but we're born again by, you know, I stand to be corrected. I want interaction. I don't want to say something that would be an error or be a lead someone in the wrong way. But you know, a lot of times we knee down and people want to get born again. We want a feeling of just a fresh new life, and that's a good thing. But here I've always been blessed in the past maybe a couple years. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And so people get born again and they have no desire for the word of God. Think through this. We are born again this morning by an incorruptible word. Incorruptible. And so when I see someone that gets born again and they say, I need a Bible. I want to read the Bible. And you know what? Sometimes, well, like I was sharing earlier, we get busy. But it's our only hope in life is the incorruptible word. So young people, young children, read your Bibles. You may not, oh, I don't want to read. It's your only hope. It's our only hope. So thinking again of the little children, I think of many people in life, if you talk to people, they desire obedient children. Many churches desire obedient church members. We desire obedience. Obedience from the heart is, there is nothing that can replace it, nothing. It's something that is overwhelming to a father to have obedient children. And again, this does not just happen. This comes, like the scripture teaches us, line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. On the road, at home. It never ends. We should take courage. Sometimes we think, well, maybe this is never going to work. But this is how it's done. It's here a little, there a little. So little children, I think of you when you're up here singing. Maybe your mother will ask you one morning to go hang up your clothes. I want you to think about it. This is where these things start, as far as being glory, having a picture of glory in a home and in church. And you know, right at first you have that little feeling that Brother Benji talks about, those little feelings that rise up. And you got just a couple seconds to figure out what to do with that. But anyway, you take that little command or that little direction that your mother asks you to do, and you go back in your room and you hang up your clothes because you got your clothes from the night before, it's on the floor. So you hang up your clothes, and then you observe your room, and you see the bed needs to be made, and you see your shoes aren't away either. And you say, you know what? Mom would be pleased if I would just do all this because I know she wants this done. You see what I'm trying to say? And then when a mother sees that happen, a father sees that happen, there is just nothing but glory in that. But when you just got to push all the way, it just gets kind of hard. So you can do you have a tremendous part in this as a young child. Just obey, just be obedient when you're asked to do those things. Sometimes, because the problem is many times when these little children get to be 38 like I am, they just struggle to obey because they didn't ever learn how to obey happily. Obey, obedience. Hang up your clothes. And then do a couple other extra things that you know your mother would be happy with. And I'm one that I didn't do very good about that at all. And I feel like my children do well. I'm blessed by my children. But it's a journey. We're living this life as a journey. We're not perfect. I'm just sharing from our experiences. Suffering love. These things come from suffering love. We keep on. It won't always go right. There'll be some... Well, we don't want to do that. And then you're suffering love and you help them. You help them. Just like Christ helped us. When we just didn't know what to do. I don't know how this will turn out. We didn't want to yield. But he just suffering love. He just kept taking us to this place. And he'll never quit doing that. There's room for you for the glory of God in this little part, children. See, children say sometimes, well, when I get big, you know, I'm going to be a missionary. Or when I get big, I'm going to be something. If you can learn this, you'll be good at that. Because if you can't learn this, you won't be a good missionary. You won't be a good leader, song leader, or whatever you want to be. You just won't. You won't be, because you'll be up. You'll be trying to do it yourself. You'll be promoting yourself. Suffering love. I also want to talk. I know a lot of the young people are not here. They're in Haiti. But I do have a special heart, place in my heart for young people, just 14, 15, 16, on up. They're very, very tender places in life. You're growing up. And there's a calling comes in your life. There's a call of God. God is speaking to your life. You know, the natural tendency for young people, and I kind of feel young, so I'll relate myself here. For young people, is they you think, you know, when I get older, I'll do better. When I get older, I'll change this. It's not a good practice to think that way. It's now. If you have that call and you recognize there's something needs to change, do it today, the best you know how to. It'll be a blessing for your life. This is not for certain people. This glory of God that we're talking about is not just for certain people, because if it were, I wouldn't be here. Smart? I desire to be smart, but I'm not that smart. Some are smarter. Some are better looking. Some are quicker to understand things. But it really doesn't matter. It's not about these things. Because they struggle. If any man seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool. I understand this thought. I was that age. I was 18, 19. And my father would talk to me. It was more important to me them days what people thought of me. It was more important to me how I looked, how it sounded. But with all this, remember, there's no glory in this of God. None. Because you can see it for a mile. And men of God, they're like, oh, if that young man could just understand. Just think, I'm speaking my own life. My father, if I could do those things over, I would do them over. It breaks my heart. I love my father. If I would have just been obedient, I could have just been more, yes, Dad, I'll do it. What do you want me to do next? Instead, I come to him with my ideas. Caused a lot of grief. The burden of my heart, self-glorification. Any age, 5, 6, 10, 12, when you get an inclination to be selfish and have a self to just really be somebody, you know that you look good. Your looks are beautiful. Even if you have a scar, even if you're a little this way or that way, God made you beautiful. Be content with that. Yield to God. Submit to God. Many of you, I know, I appreciate you. You've been born again. Some of you have not been. Listen to God. Talk to your parents. You've yielded your life. You're baptized. And you said, we say at our baptism, we're done with this world. We're done. And we're going on. And them are all glorious things. But this morning, it's something even more glorious is when you can move from those things and draw more and more into the image of Christ as a 17, 18, 19. This is more glorious. That's glorious to become a Christian. But the reason I'm sharing this from my heart is that many times people want to stop right there. This is an end in itself. And it is not. It is the beginning. It is the beginning of a life, of a total surrendered life all the way to be formed into the image of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Our great call this morning, I know it seems practical. When we think of glory, many people think of glory. And I'm not saying we raise our hands and we bang things together and we want to bring glory. We want to bring things. But glory this morning is an obedient faith to God. It's glorious. When you see obedience, it melts my heart when I see these things. The most normal response to a call of God in your life. The most normal response, and I'm saying this because I responded like this. When the Lord is calling upon your life, and I say these things because I see the Lord is working some things out in my own life. You know, just working in my heart. And the normal response is, I don't know about this. You know, you kind of, what will happen to me? How will this work out? You know, if I surrender, then they will run my life. You understand those thoughts? It's not true. It's just not true. It brings about a bondage. And I'm speaking to young people, but that goes along with old people too, older people. But If you surrender your life to your mother, to your father, they will not run your life. They will bless your life. They will bless your life. Come ask your daddy, what can I do for you today? Is there anything in my life that you'd like to see different? I desire that. I desire that in my life. I see God working in my home. Come, daddy, what can I do? If daddy can't do these things, sons can't do these things either. Because we are holding our self-image. The excuses are many. Think about the foolishness this morning of a woman. Think about this. I know I want this to not be misunderstood. But think about the foolishness this morning of a woman that desires a child, but don't desire a husband. You know, I wanna have a child, but I don't want no husband. Many of we would just say, well, it's sin. That's foolish. We should never get tangled up in those thoughts. But when we look at that scene and we think this morning of excuses, and we think of God calling upon the hearts of people in our lives today, and he may be calling on someone here to repent. Maybe you're married, maybe you're not married. But you know how foolish that is too. But we have a lot of things together. But when God calls for us to repent, to turn to Him and obey the gospel. Well, I'm not like that person. They have a child and they're not married. You know, that we have so many excuses, but we have so much before us. To whom much is given is much required. So I think about these things this morning. If you're a young man and the Lord is calling upon your life, respond. It's the most glorious thing that you could do is respond to God. I wish I'd have done those things quicker in my life as I grew up as a teenage boy. The Bible calls us as older men to be like children in malice, but be understanding as men. That's what the Bible says. In Titus, I'd like to look at a few verses in Titus for some of us, or some of the older men. I'm young, so we're going to talk now to the older one, but we're just going to read from Titus so that I won't give my thoughts because I'm not older. Titus chapter 1. Say I'm older. Bear with us here. Titus chapter 1, verses 1 to 8 is a picture of glory in the church of God. It says, chapter 2, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, and temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given too much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, and in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of a contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. I'm going to stop reading there. We could read more in the Titus chapter 2, but it says the aged men be sober, and I appreciated that. But if we're younger and we think that we're out of that, it says that the younger men in verse 6 likewise exhort to be sober-minded. The younger men. So we're all in, it's all in an all-inclusive. But the older men are to exhort the younger men to be sober-minded. Because we have an adversary. The devil. We do have an adversary. So think of the word sound in faith. Brother James touched that this morning. Being sound in faith. Being clear. Just understanding. Being sound in faith. Being sober. Being grave. In love. In charity. Appreciated that, Brother Benji, this morning in charity. Love is not, I love candy. Everybody loves. But Charity suffers long. Love covers. Love protects. Beautiful. And in patience there, in charity and patience, in patience there is not putting up with someone. Patience there is a continued perseverance. Patience. With something, or sometimes with someone. Just continuing to preserve. Sometimes there's things in life that we would like them to move away, but they don't. So God uses those very things. And I'll give you an example. And I know my son, he won't mind if I share this, because it's not his fault or my fault. But Friday evening, we were finishing up, and I wanted to come in and study the Word a little bit. I wanted to just put a few thoughts together. And so I asked him to finish doing some drive grading, and we're finishing up so we can kind of clean up the place. And so he was going to do that for a half hour, and I was in, and I just get in, and I sit in my chair, and I know that we all have these experiences, but I use these examples of either you look at it from just being sound in faith. Something, there's a reason for these things. And sometimes we don't see the reason. This should have never happened. Anyway, I wasn't sitting down a couple minutes, and I heard him come through the door, and I knew he wasn't done, and then I could tell by what was going on that something happened. And there's just he said, "Dad, there's hydraulic oil everywhere, and the Bobcat blew, something's terrible wrong." You know, I was like, "Oh boy." So I go out there, and sure enough, you know, the arm of the Bobcat has got that pin in the back, and somehow that pin shot out, and when he brought it down one time, that whole arm went back and just demolished all the hydraulic parts. Hydraulic everywhere, and parts broke. And so there I was, like, you know, it's just the way it is. But we can either have a glorious moment, or we can have a mess. Can anybody identify about that? I can. But God wants us to be sound in faith and charity. And just know that He has our best in mind. And so we helped each other and took the parts off. And by the grace of God, we'll be able to get parts in the morning. So it would be in mind I shared that. But it was just a good reminder. I'm looking through these scriptures thinking of, you know, the glory of God. And something very unglorious seemed to happen that was not planned. Anyway, so I think of these things. I like to bring it to a close. A few verses. It says in Isaiah 42, verse 8, it says, "I am the Lord. This is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images." Another verse in John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So this glory that was in Mount Sinai this morning, the question is this glory in this building, tabernacle? Is it on a special mount somewhere? Or is it in the people of God? It's in the people of God. We find this glory. It comes from heaven, and it dwells with people. And God's design is that He will always have a people. He will always have a remnant that will carry this around. Many people in the world around live disobedient lives and gather with people to try to find some kind of glory that makes them happy. Disobedient lives, and I know that I don't want to overemphasize the word obedience, but disobedient lives and still desire to have the glory of God. I did this for many years. So I had to think this morning if a beautiful way that has been a blessed thought for me is when you think of being part of the glory of God, think of a blank sheet of paper. And I had to think of this just for a little illustration. You know, we come to God and we have a piece of paper. Up here is a line. And down here are all the lines that God has. He has lines. He has family. He has church. And see, when we are contemplating, we're wanting to serve God. Men and women desire to serve God. But I was thinking this week, thinking of that, we want to fill all these blanks in, and then we want to sign. I don't care whose name to put there. You fill in a name there.
I'll put my name there. You put your name there. And when we put our name up here and we allow God in heaven to fill this, it's beautiful. But when we fill this with our self-image, we have this, and we have this, and we have this, and then we sign our name, probably all capital letters, and we tell God, we say, look, God, look at what I have. Just think with us a little bit. I know this selfish life. I know this life. It's a burden. It never has glory. But when you allow God to work his work in your heart, in my heart, it's not about you no more. It becomes the glory of God. So think about that. Are you and I willing to sign our name at the top of the page and let God fill in the blanks? It's a good place to be. A beautiful place to be. So our desire today was to share what God has done in our lives. We have been extremely blessed. We wanted to share that. My wife and I was talking this week, being blessed with the church. We felt very unworthy of all the blessings and all the encouragement we received. So today, our desire is that we could just give this in a blessing, that we appreciate walking with you all, and we desire to be a blessing and to be part of the bigger picture of the glory of God in this little church. So God bless each of you, and feel free to talk to me and share anything that you have thoughts on, add to. There's many things can be added to, because it's just a scratch of the surface of the big picture. So Lord bless each of you.